for a wonderful prayer. I believe that God heard it. I just have to believe that. Amen. We're going to look at 1 Timothy today. One verse. Well, that's our New Year's Day service. New Year's Day, or our New Year's, first New Year's service. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 8. One verse. Getting spiritual shape for 2015. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. Amen. It says this: for bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now, that now is, and of that which is to come. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the people of God. Most of all, thank you for being God and being a loving God and showing us what love does. Thank you for the congregation of Christian Bible Baptist Church and all that you've done so far today. Let this sermon be a blessing to someone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bodily exercise profited little. He didn't say it's useless. He didn't say it didn't profit at all. It's good to exercise. But holiness or godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Amen. As a fitness person and someone who's been in the gym most of my life, I've been going to different gyms and working out. This time of year, the gym business, the fitness industry is just booming. I got to the gym the other day and I seen whole families coming in. I seen husband and wife coming in, joining the gym. And y'all know y'all's pastor. I just spiritualized everything. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, I wonder what their goals are. I wonder what they're trying to do. Whether they're just trying to lose some weight or tone up or just want to get on the treadmills or the life cycles or the different things like that. Just to, maybe their doctor told them to exercise or bring their cholesterol levels down or blood pressure, different things. And then I thought about the church. I thought about how many of us are spiritually out of shape. Amen. Our study habits are malnutrition. Amen. Our prayer life is out of shape. We talked about that this morning. Our testimonies are the times that we have to testify about God's goodness. He's amazing, as Margaret said. Our testimonies have been worn out. We're using the same testimony that we used 25 years ago. We're weak and scrawny little Christians. No power, no strength. No appetite for holiness and godliness. No desire for the fruit of our life to be brought to perfection. You know, when you see a person who's lost some weight and went to the gym and started working out, one of the first things they want to do is they want you to see it. You know? They look, I lost weight. They want you to comment on it. And I think about that as a pastor. I think about those in the Bible that were, I would call them, spiritually fit. And my goal for this sermon is that to somebody out here, somebody say, you know what, Pastor? I want to be spiritually fit. 2015. I think about Daniel. Here's Daniel and says in Daniel 5:12, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard senses, dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar, which means protector. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. Daniel was spiritually fit, ready for action. Let me give you one more scripture on Daniel. It says this in Daniel 5:14. And I believe this ought to be said about every person who says they're a man of God, a woman of God. It says in Daniel 5:14, I have even heard of thee that the Spirit of God is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. You know what wisdom is, biblical wisdom? Knowing what God wants you to do in any given situation. Knowing what God would have you to do. Biblical wisdom. The spiritually fit man or woman of God sees God. Sees God in everything. I think about Caleb. Remember Caleb? 12 spies went in. 10 of them seen what they could do, which was nothing. And 2 of them saw what God could do. Caleb was spiritually fit. Mary, it's hard for me to talk about people in the Bible when I talk about Mary. Mary was spiritually fit. She understood the times. She understood the word of God. She was a student of God's word. She was prepared. She was ready. She was energized. And she didn't hesitate when God called her to do what most of us would have seen impossible. How about Anna? We talk about the spiritually fit person. This person is going to endure to the end. Anna, the Bible says she was 84 years old. And know where they found her at? In the house of God. She was faithful to the end. Pastor, I want to be spiritually fit. What's that look like? It has a look. You'll be able to see it. Now, you took one verse when Margaret sang this song. You took the one verse. Cindy and I was watching Dr. Ben Carson last night. As I was putting this together, Cindy coming in the room. I always say, you in here bothering me. She said, how am I bothering you? I'm just sitting. But we start watching Dr. Ben Carson on channel 45. And he's talking about willpower. Power of the brain. And he made something. I said, Cindy, I'm going to use that tomorrow. I got to write that down. Because we need willpower. If you're going to be spiritually fit, you need willpower. And Dr. Carter said, willpower is the power to tell the body what it's going to do. Okay? You want to stop drinking? You need willpower to do it. You want to stop smoking? You need willpower to do it. You want to stop doing anything that you know isn't bringing glory to God? You need willpower. And then he made this comment. He said, willpower comes from a deep understanding of the long-term effects of that behavior. That makes sense to me. Because if you do a certain thing long enough that's not healthy and good, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Then 1 Peter 2 and 12 says this about the person who's spiritually fit. He said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. God's going to visit every one of us. He has. And he's going to visit every one of you that's not saved. He's going to visit you. Hope. Something that was said in this church will have an impact on your life. Yeah. The Philippians 3 and 8. I'm not going to use all these scriptures. I have a lot of them. Talk about a spiritually fit person being about the Father's business. Not only being about the Father's business, but being able to be noticed as a man of God, a woman of God. Yea. 3 and 8 Philippians. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. It's going to cost you something. Okay? You know, I don't want anyone to come to the Lord under my ministry and not understand the cost involved with being a child of God. Too many folks say you can come to Jesus and, you know, in any kind of way, but it's going to cost you something. I don't want to be ignorant of that. Says Paul here. He said, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And I think that right there stops a lot of us from coming to the Lord. Because it's going to cost you some stuff. Amen. It's going to cost you some relationships. It's going to cost you, excuse me, it's going to cost you. There's a cost involved with being a child of God. As I still want to be spiritually fit. You're not gonna scare me away. Show me how to be spiritually fit. Because I have no desire for the things of God. My prayer life is pathetic. I live like I don't even need God. I don't like being in church. I don't like fellowship. I don't even like being around Christians. I never witness or tell anyone about Christ, Lord. They think I'm a hypocrite. Reading the Bible don't even cross my mind. I haven't picked it up in weeks, months. Been in the window of my car. I'm like a fig tree. A lot of leaves. No figs. I'm still on milk. When I should be eating prime rib. God has been good to me. This is what I hear. I hear this stuff. God has been good to me. And I have nothing to offer him. Let's get spiritually fit. 2015. First thing we need to know is that we are fallen human beings. That we have a built-in weakness. We live in a fallen world. Amen. Now, if you were in a gym, you know, the trainer would tell you, you know, as you get older, you get in your 30s and 40s, you know, after 25 or 27, your metabolism will slow down and your testosterone levels will drop, which is true. As a Christian, Paul says, when he went to the Lord, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he went to the Lord. He had a problem. He had a thorn in the flesh, as some expositors say. He had a problem. And he went to the Lord 3 times, the Bible says. And he got his answer. Probably wasn't the one he was expecting. Because Paul was healed. He was a healer. He healed folks. And now he was going for his own healing. And God had told him, no, Paul. I got something better for you. I got something better for you. He said this. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, the weaker you are, the situations you get into, the stronger you will become. Some of us are stronger in 2015 than we were in 2014 because of the things we went through in 2014. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my wife is stronger this year than she was last year. I really believe that. Just by talking to her and being with her. She's been through some stuff. Amen. See, adversity brings strength. See, the more weight you put on the bar, the stronger you get. I gotta tell you, I see folks, they ain't put no weight on the bar. They come to the gym and they ain't put no weight on the bar. They're just going through the motion. And sometimes I'll just stop and say, what are you doing? Are you trying to get stronger? Well, if you're gonna get stronger, you need more weight. See, the reason a lot of us aren't stronger, we don't want to add no weight. Well, put some weight on the bar. See, we lifting the same things 20 as we did 20 years ago. This is what God says. He said, this was Paul's answer. Paul said this, I will gladly rather rejoice in my infirmities. Can you? If you're going to grow and you're going to be spiritually fit, you have to give God glory in tribulations. When you're going through, can you still give God glory? Roy, when you're in the hospital and you're looking at your mom and you know her days is numbered and you're looking at her, she's not doing well, and you remember her being strong and vibrant and running all around, and now she's in a situation where she needs constant care, can you still give God glory? You have to. You had to thank him. Thank you for the time that you gave me to have with her. Thank you for the joy that I shared with her throughout all these years. Can you give God glory in tribulation? Paul said this in Romans 5:3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Why, Paul? Also knowing that tribulations worketh patience. And patience secures God's approval of us. Oh, we want to get to God. We don't want to go through nothing. Let me tell you something. You better have some patience. You're going to see the Lord. You're going to have some patience. We in a fallen world. Job said it best. I've been using this verse for the last few months. It just hits me. Job 14:1 says this. Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Don't let these characters that come on TV tell you that everything's supposed to be wonderful and everything gonna be. You're going through some stuff. You're going through some stuff. And I'm talking to the youngest one in here. Watch these old folks in here. They in here for a reason. They are our example. They done been through. And you head where they at. Don't be laughing and mocking Claire with her little cane and stuff. You're gonna have one too. If you blessed, you'll get old enough. You'll use a cane to come to the house of God.
Amen.
You'll use a cane to come to the house of God. Can you give God glory in tribulation? That's our first point. You want to be spiritually fit? First realize you're weak. Then realize you need the Lord. Listen. Do you have some born again friends? That's interesting. Do you have some born again friends? Now this one really was interesting to me. Because it's through the prayers of others we get strength. If you're gonna be spiritually fit, you need some folks around you that you know get on their knees. That you know love the Lord. You know, you don't need to be around a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, they sing in the choir. They sing one thing on Sunday and another thing on Monday.
Uh-huh.
You need some folks that you know that's what we got. Thorough. Okay? You can call them up, see? Text them. Hey, look, my Jackie's cousin just got transported. They found a liver. Can you pray for us? He sent that to me. He sent it today. He know what happened when we heard that. Prayers went up. Do you have some saved friends? You ought to. If you're a Christian, you ought to be surrounded by saved folks. Okay? When you go to text some folks, there ought to be some saved folks. Why Paul? Or why preacher? Look at James 5:16. He says this. Confess your faults to one another. Here's James. And pray one for another. Why? That ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. You got some righteous folk in your life? Some folks that are praying for you. Colossians 1:9 puts it like this. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that you might be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know what? If you got a man in your life, a woman in your life, they ought to be prayerful. You got some friends, they ought to be praying for you. For what? What do we need? What do we need? What do we need our loved ones and our friends and our associates to pray for? What areas do we need prayer? Paul just explained it. That you would be filled with knowledge. See, some of us is filled with some of us are filled. Listen, everybody in here is filled with something. Some of us are filled with hot air, filled with the world, filled with video games and jokes and stupidity. You ask me to pray for you. Here's what I'm gonna pray for you. I'm going to pray that you be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's it.
Amen.
That's it. Then when you pray for your babies, pray that they be filled with knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding. Listen, it ain't hard to understand what a lot of these movies that these young folks watch.
Uh-huh.
You know, I watch them 5 minutes. I know it's going to happen at the end. They ain't that deep no more. Okay, listen, another prayer. I like this. I like Paul. Y'all know I love Paul. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He said, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a prayer. What a prayer. You got some folks around you that pray for you? You got some folks around you that love to pray and want to pray? I remember my brother had a good friend. And he was just a young in the faith. And he called me up. He said, my friend, you know, is dying on his deathbed. Can you come down here and pray for him? I think I told some of you guys this story. I went down and prayed for this brother. And while I was praying, he was already, cancer had went through his body. He was already, they had already pronounced he was going to be dead in an hour or so. He was unconscious, totally unconscious. And I started praying for him, and the nurse came in and she wanted to take a blood culture. And when she stuck that needle in him, he woke up. And he was alert. He recognized, and this one of his family members in there, and it was about 20 of them down at the hospital. And they all ran in the room. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And he, you know, and he had the breathing thing down, all that, you know, the whole get up. And they started talking to him. And I said, let me talk to him. And I asked him, did he know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? Mm-hmm. I said, does he know Jesus? And this comes from a family to fear God. And I gave him the gospel message. And he couldn't talk, he just nodded his head. Mm-hmm. He's nodded his head. And then he passed away that next morning. That next morning. I don't know. I'm not sitting here being prophetic or anything. I don't know what all that meant. I know he heard the gospel one last time.
Amen.
And he heard the gospel that last time because he had a friend that knew the Lord. You better have some saved folk in your life.
Amen.
Okay? And we surround ourselves with thugs. You know, I love me a thug. I love me a brother with his pants all down. All that. That's all. That's, you know, hey. See where that gets you. Listen, I don't like thugs. You have born again friends, number two. How about this? Get you someone. Whether you have to go online on the radio. Listen, we live in the information age. You find you a good Bible study teacher. You want to be spiritually fit. You find someone that will share the word of God with you. That is important that you have someone in your life that can help you learn the things of God.
Amen.
Paul said this, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 10. Remember, Paul got ran out of Thessalonians. He was blessing them. People was being empowered, and they ran him out. And this is what Paul's prayer was. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and 10, he said, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. Why, Paul? Why did you want to see these Thessalonians? Because Paul's work wasn't done with them. He says this, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Paul wanted to finish it. Paul wanted to be with those folks to confirm their faith. You know, walking down the aisle, sitting in the chair, ain't enough. You know, I accepted Jesus when I was a little baby. I was 8 years old when I came to the Lord. I was baptized. And now you're 38. And then bust hell wide open. Listen, you need your faith confirmed. And a good Bible teacher ought to ignite your desire for the things of God. Ought to quicken you and excite you and motivate you. Get you a good teacher. Paul was a good teacher. Look at Acts 20 and 26. Y'all know this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Pastor, you say that all the time. It's one of my favorites here. 20 and 26. Paul says this. I'm going to look at 25. 25, as far as I'm going. He said, Now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching what? What did you preach, Paul? The kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Oh, he wasn't done. But wherefore I take to record this day, what, Paul? That I am pure from the blood of all men. Why could Paul say that?
Amen.
Why could Paul say that? Here's why he could say it, Dave. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God, or all the word of God. Paul was a teacher. And a good teacher going to let him have it.
Yes.
It ain't nothing popular. If you think you're going to be a popular teacher, then you're in the wrong business.
Amen.
I don't like it. I don't like his teaching style. Amen. Talk too much. Laugh too much. Joke too much. Whatever. Find you a teacher. If you can't find them in your church, fine. It's important. If you want to be spiritually fit, you find you a teacher, someone who can explain the whole counsel of God to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's Paul one more time. I'm going to let y'all have this. I'm going to get through all seven of these. Y'all just hang in there with me. Look at Paul. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible too. Look at Paul. Here's Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You got to love this. You got to love this. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you," what? "The testimony of God." Here's that willpower. It takes willpower to stick to the word of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, we live in a world today where there's a lack of determination in our people, especially our young people. A lack of determination. You know, when average is okay. And in this world, lift you, when you just average. Average don't get it. When you can be great. Listen, and I was with you, Paul said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why, Paul? Why didn't you come in enticing speech? You know, enticing speech draw a crowd. Oh, we got some smooth talkers in the pulpit. They smooth talkers. Talk your wallet. Your head, your wallet walking. Talk that wallet out of you. And they smooth with it. They well versed in enticing words a man's wisdom. But Paul said, "Nah, I didn't come like that, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand on the wisdom of man." What happens to a Christian whose faith— what happens to a person whose faith stands on the wisdom of man? Don't fall. Not a good foundation. Paul knew that. He said, "No, I don't want your faith to stand on the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." And that's the question you have to ask. Where's my faith? Where's my faith stand? And what I do? On what God has done. Get you a good Bible study teacher. A teacher that you want to be with, you want to share. A teacher that's excited about coming out on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Not one that's dragging. Oh, here we go. 7 o'clock. We go here 6 o'clock to 7. And 7 o'clock, everybody cut and gone. Don't work like that. Study the Bible for yourself. Study the Bible for yourself. Personal Bible study. Now, this is important. Because your trainer, and you come to the gym, your trainer ain't always going to be there to train with you. Sometimes you got to get it on your own now. Amen. Say, "Well, my trainer ain't here. I'm just going to skip the day." No. You got to be able to train when the trainer ain't there.
Amen.
See, I've been around a long time, and I've trained a lot of folks. And, you know, when the hard workouts come, they tend to, it's leg day. Everybody shows up when we doing biceps and triceps. When we say we got to get up under the squat rack today, well, you know, I don't know, my wife's calling me. They come up with some excuses. Ain't nothing fun about squatting. Sometimes you got to get it for yourself. Here's what God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8. And this is about our own personal Bible study. Personal Bible study. Put them tablets down. And open up the book. Get you some personal time with the Lord. See, Joshua, he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Now, for it not to depart out of your mouth, this has to be where? In your heart. In your mouth. "But thou shalt meditate therein," what? "Day and night, that thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See, we want to go to God with our little trumped up prayers. And we ain't studied. We ain't been to Bible study. We ain't been to prayer meeting. And, you know, and then now we want God to answer our prayers. Uh-oh. I don't even hear you. I mean, I have no relationship with a holy God, but I'm sending up petitions. How much sense does that make? That's like going to the bank trying to withdraw money you don't have in it. You know what I mean? I walk up to the bank. That'd be like somebody walking up to the bank. I want to take out $500. You don't even have an account. What's the banker going? The banker going to hit that little button under there. Got one here. Got one to go. Psalms 1. One wonderful verse. 1 and 2. Blessed is the man. You want to hear people. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. Here's how you get blessed. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now listen to your counsel. You call yourself a Christian and you going to a godless person. Person that hate God, hate church, hate Bible study, hate the preacher, hate everything about God. You going to this person for counsel. Really shouldn't even have nothing to talk to this person about. Amen. The Bible say what? We ought not be unequally yoked. I don't even have nothing to, listen. What are we going to talk about if it don't start with the things of God? Now, you know, I can talk about the Steelers losing yesterday. Okay, that ain't no problem. I can share with you a little bit on that. But sooner or later, we gonna have a good conversation. We gotta talk about things of God. Amen. It's gotta be important. He says this: blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand or sit in the seat of the scornful. Who you sitting with makes a difference. You go to cafeteria in some school. You just ain't sitting down with anybody. Okay? But you better make sure you ain't sitting with folks that don't love the Lord. Mm-hmm. If you call yourself a Christian. Telling mama jokes and stuff. You know, your mama saw this or your mama saw that. You call yourself a Christian? And that's your company. He says this. Spiritually fit man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law do he what? Day and night. David was spiritually fit. Wasn't perfect. Now when I say spiritually fit, I don't mean perfect. We're not getting perfection till the Lord comes. Okay? Right now all we're doing is striving. But David said this in Psalm 119. When he said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. 119:55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. 119:97. Oh, how love I the law. It is my meditation all day. All day. Personal Bible study gets you there. The believers delight in the word of God. The believers have a relationship with the word of God. And the believers long to be in the company with the people of God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Be with my peoples. Know the cost. Know the cost. You want to be spiritually fit? It's going to hurt. Cost you. Nothing good comes easy. I said that earlier. Love. To love anything, it hurts. Love hurts. Love hurts. And the greatest display of love was on Calvary's cross. The greatest display of love was on Calvary's cross. Amen. It was painful. It was painful. If you think you're gonna love the scriptures, you're going to be spiritually fit, listen, it's going to hurt. Peter says this in 1 Peter 5:10. Talking about Christ's great love and getting to heaven. Getting to heaven is going to hurt. Going to be going through something. Here's what Peter said. He said, but the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, strengthen, and settle you. You don't even count the cost. There's a cost to being spiritually fit. It ain't always fun going to the gym. You might think, well, I'm going to the gym. I hope my wife don't leave. Every time I go to the gym, I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
There ain't no fun. It takes willpower to be good at anything. There's a suffering that goes with this Christianity. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this. He said, for our light affliction. Here's Paul. Been through everything. Been through hell and high water, as the old folks used to say. He called it a light affliction. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. Just a couple days. We only hear a couple days. Think about it. We only hear a couple days. Want to be spiritually fit? I like this one. Arnold Schwarzenegger used to say this one all the time. I have a hard time understanding what he meant at first. He said, stay hungry. Yeah, remember that? Stay hungry. You want to be spiritually fit, you got to stay hungry. Hungry for what? Hungry for hitting the gym and your diet and all that it takes to be on that level. Then he used to talk about self-actualization. Maslow's theory. Okay? You got to see yourself being successful. That was big back in the 70s when guys would bodybuild and everything. Because I know when I first started, Sydney looked at me and said, you so skinny. I took a picture of the Black Prince. Seriously, not Purple Rain Prince. Come on, Jake. The Black Prince was Robbie Robinson. And he was a big time bodybuilder. And I put it in my closet. Because I was into self-actualization back then. And I say, one day I'm going to be like that. Roy rubbing his head. Roy know the Black Prince. So, over the years, you know, I was like, okay, it's getting there. So he would come to the bodybuilding shows with me. She would always come. She'd be, her and my daughter be in the front row. Yeah, you know. First show I went to, came in fifth. There's only five of us in the show. But that's the theory. Staying hungry. Blessed are those what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's a hunger associated with being spiritually fit, just like being physically fit. You got a hunger for it. You see them people out there running in the cold with masks on and biking. I seen a guy ride. You got to want it. And you got to be hungry for it. And that's the goal. Listen to Paul. I said, y'all, you know what's Paul? Well, he wrote 2/3 of this. Look at Paul in Romans 12 and 10. But 11 is the serious part, because I think this is where we slack off. And Paul says, don't be slothful. Watch this. He said, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Talk about hunger here. Then he says in verse 7, not slothful in business. What business? Business of ministry. Not slothful in the business of preparing to teach or to preach or to sing. We ought to be serious about what we do. And choir rehearsals ought to almost be reminiscent of Bible studies. Because you're preparing to stand before God's people. It's a serious business. You're going to stand before God's people on Sunday morning and you're going to deliver a message through song. Through song. Seriously, they said, don't be slothful, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer. Being hungry, now you ask yourself, are you hungry? How bad do you want this? How bad do you want this? How bad do you want to be spiritually fit? 2000. How bad do you want to be spiritually fit? Do you really want to be spiritually fit? Last one. Physically fit person, but want to show off them biceps and triceps. You know, everything they sell is tight now. You girls can't buy nothing that ain't paint on. It's tight, everything tight. I see some folk wearing tight stuff, and I'll not be wearing it. That ain't for you. That's Forever 21, not Forever 41. You me and Cindy had, see, we had some great conversations. Some of them outfits she be trying on for me. Cindy be like, all right, stop. Listen, she's still the apple of my eye. That's right. She forever 21 for me. Clean that up. Thanks, Claire. Listen. Here's a story. Mark 4 and 19. We talk about the parable of the sores. And talk about the third one. We know the first one was hard pan. The second one was just on stony ground. The third one is the one we got to fight with. The third type of soil is the one we want. If we want to live our life to perfection, then we have to fight this third type of soil. And that's the one with the thorns, which represents the cares of the world. It says in Mark 4:19, it says, in the cares of this world, in the deceitfulness of riches, in the lust of other things entering in, choke the word. Choke the word. What happens when you start choking anything? Takes the oxygen out of you. You know, and we got to have in the prison, we, you know, folks, is suicide number one way is just hanging themselves. And he had a cut down. They got a box with a cut down blade in it where they got to cut them down. Because if they stay choked to that choke position too long, it's going oxygen to the brain. And if they survive, they liable to be brain dead. But Jesus is using that same word here. He says, and choke the word. So if the word that's in you is being choked, what's happening to that person spiritually? Dying spiritually, because the cares of this world are choking you. So what Mark is saying here, and though choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So you got a dying word in you, and you're wondering why your life isn't fervent. Your testimonies aren't fresh, and your joy is missing because the cares of this world have choked the very life that's in the believer. Because the word of God is the life in the believer. How do we get choked out? Some of us in here busy. We got some stuff going on. I mean, we are busy. Okay? And if it's not baseball practice, volleyball practice, cheerleader practice, golf leagues, bowling leagues, fishing clubs, and Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. I mean, and you don't have time anymore. Things of God. Because the world has choked out all your desires to be what God would call you to be. Now, I might say, that's tough, Pastor. We got a lot going on. God's got a lot going on, too. God's got a lot going on too. Listen as I close. The question is, do you really want to be spiritually fit? Do you want to be spiritually fit? If you count the cost, it's going to cost you something. Having a membership isn't enough, because 90% of those that signed up for memberships in January won't be going to the gym in February. Amen. That's just the way it goes. I would tell folks in here, if you think about joining the gym, just wait till March. And you find out if you're serious or not. Don't go join it in January because you want a New Year's resolution, and that'd be the last of it. But in Christian circles, do you want to be spiritually fit? Great question. Being spiritually fit. Father, thank you for the word of God. Father God, many of us in here, Father God, we want to be better. We want to be better. We want to be closer to you. We know we need you. We know you're a good God and you've been good to us. We may not always be able to express it, but just knowing you, life has been better. Just being part of this church, life has been better. But Lord, I want to be better in 2015. I want to be better. I want to be stronger. I want to be more committed. I want to be a better teacher. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better singer. I want to be a better usher. I want to be a better deacon. I want to be a better secretary, a music director. I just need a little bit more of your grace and your mercy and your power. Father, thank you. Thank you for the charge that you gave me as a pastor. I want to be better. I want to be fitter spiritually as teacher I could be. And I need, Father God, for you to move in my life. Remove some of these obstacles. Remove some of the thorns that tend to get in the way. Help me, Lord. In this name I pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Doors of the church are open. Doors of the church are open today. First of the year. We open up the doors of the church. I think I hear a lot of times, you know, as we think about it, one day these doors ain't going to be open. The way this world is going, this crazy, messed up world.